Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In a sign of where the Republican Party may be right now, Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger, one of the few GOP lawmakers to vote to impeach former President Trump, said today he is not running for re-election. Also today, Tanya, Democrats are a bit unsettled on their end.
Right. President Biden is in Europe, but even before he departed, his big social spending deal was unraveling. Moderates and progressives from his own party didn't trust they'd get everything they wanted. And joining us now to talk about all of this for our Friday Politics Roundtable is Chad Pergram, congressional correspondent for Fox News, and Maya King, who is a politics reporter for Politico. Welcome to you both.
Hi. Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Yes, well, Maya, let's start with you. Biden initially delayed his trip to Europe yesterday to go to Capitol Hill to lobby lawmakers, and he told them, quote, "I don't think it's hyperbole to say that the House and Senate majorities and my presidency will be determined by what happens in the next week." That was an urgent plea, but Democrats still couldn't move things forward. I mean, Maya, your thoughts, what is this a sign of?
Well, I think really what we can glean from this is a lack of consensus right now among Democrats on what exactly they want this legislation to accomplish. My colleagues on the Hill have described this really well as a trust gap between progressives and moderates on the Hill. Progressives really dug in on Thursday, essentially saying, look, if you don't have what we want in this bill, particularly as it relates to the care economy, to Medicare, to climate, it's not something that they would be willing to get behind, and they have the votes and the numbers now to make that difference. You have Jayapal really yesterday kind of flexing that muscle as the voice for progressives and saying, you know, the president didn't explicitly ask for a vote on this, and therefore that we feel that gives us more time to actually ask for what we do want. And they're really eyeing, I think, their colleagues across the Hill or across the chamber in the Senate, specifically Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kristen Sinema, really wondering, I think, what their next move is, what they are willing to ask for, and just how much longer I think this is going to drag on. It's very clear, as the president pointed out, that they do want some kind of a consensus and a vote to take place to have something to give to voters in Virginia in time for Tuesday's gubernatorial election. However, it remains to be seen just how possible that will be now. It's kind of coming down to the wire on the Hill.
And we're going to talk in just a few minutes about that Virginia election. But to add on to what you're saying here, I want to remind everyone what's at stake here. The White House deal would help families with child care, elderly care, expand health benefits to millions of people, make a huge investment in clean energy incentives to fight climate change, and pay for all of this with taxes on the wealthy and corporations. I mean, that along with an infrastructure bill that's been a sticking point would represent $3 trillion in new spending, and that's on top of the $2 trillion from the American Rescue Plan stimulus deal. Whew, I need to take like a breath saying all of that. I would love to know, Chad, I mean, this is huge.
That's right. And what you're seeing here is this internecine warfare playing out between the wings of the Democratic Party, the progressives and the moderates, who are not very happy with one another. You know, there is an issue of trust where you have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democrat from New York with whom I spoke yesterday, who said, you know, I feel like sometimes when we're dealing with people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, we're doing the hokey pokey, her line, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. She said, we just can't have an IOU. And the distrust is kind of manifesting itself this way. Number one, the liberals think that the moderates won. They brought down the overall cost of this bill from about $3.5 trillion to $1.75 trillion. There's a lot of things in there like family leave and deeper environmental provisions, expanded Medicare that's not in the bill. And so you have progressives who are mad. So whether they have control, it's unclear. They have the control so far that they can hold up a vote on the infrastructure bill. You know, even the pageantry of the president coming to Capitol Hill does not necessarily unlock their votes for that infrastructure package. By the same token, look at what the policy is. The policy is going to be more moderate, and that's why progressives are pushing back, and that's where progressives think that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema might have gotten the better of them.
Now, Chad, on Fox News yesterday, Republican Senator John Kennedy slammed what Democrats want to achieve in the social spending bill. Let's take a quick listen here.
they're going to try to crush small business. And they're making tax policy on the basis of class warfare.
So zero support, it seems, from the Republican side. Chad, is the GOP preparing, I guess, in the midterms to, if this passes, to slam the Democrats for taxing and spending?
This is a very easy narrative for Republicans to curate. That's always been the criticism of the Democratic Party. And if you look back in March, when the Democratic House and Senate passed the big COVID bill, $1.9 trillion there, all they have to do on the Republican side is say, look, there they go again. You know, that's that line back from the Reagan era. It's very easy to present that to voters. And that's why people are looking so closely at the Virginia gubernatorial race come Tuesday as kind of a watershed moment to see where things might go in the midterms next year.
Yeah, yeah. Maya, this morning on Morning Edition, the Missouri Progressive House Democrat Cori Bush spoke about the two critical senators we've been talking and talking about, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, and whether they will support both the social spending bill and a separate infrastructure package. Let's take a listen.
We hope that the two senators, the two Democratic senators that have been in these negotiations, we hope that they will be good faith actors and at some point support this other bill. We can't, I don't trust that.
So Maya, are both of these bills in play still?
I would say, I think that especially in the eyes of progressives, they certainly hope that both of these bills are still in play. And I don't think it can be really overstated how important it is to get them passed. Obviously, all Democrats and Republicans want to see this infrastructure bill passed because it's very easy to talk about roads and bridges as winning political issues constituents can see immediately. And I think that really just given what the last 18 months have been, through the pandemic, widespread job loss, widespread loss of livelihood, and even housing. I mean, this is why you see liberal Democrats really, really laying into this social spending package. Of course, there are the comparisons of this whole deal to the New Deal and just what it could mean, I think, for their constituents. And again, what it could mean just next Tuesday. Democrats are really in need of some kind of a win here. And Joe Biden himself has said that he needs this largely to, it would be a defining feature of his presidency. Their failure to pass that would really be a blow, not only to him, but to the Democratic agenda in Washington right now.
Chad, I want your take on this, because Biden campaigned on so much of what has been cut. I mean, are voters going to remember those compromises or focus instead on what's being achieved?
Well, it's always said that you campaign in poetry and you govern in prose. And what they're really governing in right now in Capitol Hill, as messy as this process has been, is kind of, you know, writing things on the back of an envelope and chicken scratches. I mean, it is a messy process. You're right, though. Still, Joe Biden, if they get this across the finish line, he can come in and say, we got most of these things. This is the biggest bill that's passed since the Great Society programs back in the 60s with LBJ. Since the New Deal back in the 1930s with FDR. I mean, this is a big win for him. But, you know, the problem for Joe Biden is that progressives still wanted more. And that represents the problem and that divide, that schism inside the Democratic caucus. And the reason that the policy achievements have had to come down, or what the policy initiatives are, is they don't have the votes. I always say it's about the math. It's about the math. It's about the math on Capitol Hill. And when you have a 50-50 Senate and you have a 3-vote margin in the House of Representatives, you can't shoot for the sky. The fact that they're even close to being able to pass something of this magnitude is considerable, considering these narrow margins in the House and Senate.
Maya, let's talk about Virginia. It's my state, and the vote is coming up on Tuesday. And it's either razor close, or if you believe a new Fox News poll, Youngkin is up by 8-9 points over the Democrat Terry McAuliffe. I mean, this is really striking for a state that had been increasingly going blue for a decade here. So, I mean, is this bleeding over from what's happening in Congress, or is there something else happening in Virginia?
Well, I think it's somewhere in the middle, honestly. What we have, Virginia is unique in that they vote, they have elections every year. And what I'm hearing from folks on the ground is there's a level of fatigue, quite honestly, from 2020. But then when you look also at the early vote numbers and the new provisions that the State House put in place to make voting more accessible, there's a large early vote number that could suggest that maybe Democrats are willing to show up in the late stages of the game. But either way, the fact that the Republican nominee, Glenn Youngkin, has really closed that gap between him and Terry McAuliffe in these last few days is nerve-wracking for Democrats, because as you point out, this is a state or a commonwealth that just a year ago, President Biden won by 10 points. And so the game this weekend has been to gin up enthusiasm, particularly among the Democratic base. You see even more Democratic heavy hitters like Jim Clyburn coming to the Commonwealth this weekend. I mean, these are signs that Democrats are not only maybe a little bit nervous about this race, but that they're willing to leave everything on the field to make sure that McAuliffe wins on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is so many of these midterm, or I guess off-year elections, as they call it, are about turnout. So we will see. It's Maya King, politics reporter for Politico, and Chad Pergram, congressional correspondent for Fox News. Thanks to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.